Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
The Cold Omaha Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Locked On Wolves Wired Podcast, Tim Fakeless, a Wolf Among Wolves bloggist, City Pages contributor. How was your weekend, sir?
I slept a lot. I haven't had coffee all weekend. This is big.
Yeah, we didn't even hang out.
Yeah, what the... Well, you know what?
Distance makes the heart grow fonder, Jimmy.
Exactly. You just stole the quote right from my brain. But also, next weekend, we'll chill. We'll hang out.
Yeah. Let's not tiptoe around it. It's my birthday on
Thursday.
Yeah,
let's just say there might be a growler coming your way. I'm just going to give you a present away
jeepers.
Right now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. You're reciprocating your Christmas gift of my growler
yes,
to you.
Yes, sir. It means I have to go somewhere like on my own time. You're a nice dude for doing that. It puts me in a predicament because I don't want to do that.
Yeah, and you're a nicer dude than me. Anyway, the big 2-7. I'm not really looking forward to it.
But God, you're old.
Yeah, I know. I'm just a geezer. This beard's really coming in nice. Anywho, today on the Locked On Wolves Wired podcast, cross promo every Sunday we do this. We will talk. Let's quickly rehash the trade deadline stuff. We'll talk about what didn't happen. We'll go over the we'll recap the Dallas game and we'll recap the Houston game. Sorry for the lack of shows last week. It was in a predicament with my vehicle situation. I got no excuses. Play like a champion. Moving forward, did you ever actually think that the Rose Rubio deal was a thing?
Yeah.
You did?
Okay, well, I'm going to sound like an insider, but an email I received from someone that I trust told me that it wasn't not on the table. I'll just leave it at that. So I felt like it was a thing.
The inexactitude, I just love it.
Well, I'll put it, like, talks were happening, and I wouldn't have been surprised had it happened based on what I was told. And, I mean, John Krasinski, who I trust, wasn't beating around the bush either. He seemed to think that while it wasn't even close to being done, which is what he reported, it seemed like a possibility of the deal happening was there.
That's probably where I was at, because I didn't think in any way it was going to get done at all. Not for a minute. And then I'm out with casual fans who are my friends last night, and they're like, Rose Root, you know, they're under the impression that it almost happened. It's just funny, like, I'm not an insider by any means.
No.
But I guess I have the intuition to know that it wasn't going to happen. I'm not patting myself on the back, but I didn't think it was close at all. But if you're sort of detached from it, you definitely think it's closer than it is when you hear it. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
Does that make sense?
I am guilty, and I wrote about this. The Wolf Among Wolves did a roundtable about the deadline, and I prefaced everything I said with the fact that I am an idiot around deadline time and on draft day. Every rumor just gets into my head and it feeds itself and it like it makes a home and it lives there and it grows. So I think if I would have stepped away from the situation, I would have felt better. But when Wojnarowski, David Aldridge, Mark Stein, Krasinski, all these guys are saying the talks are at least happening, when the number of insiders that cover the league and are respected for breaking news are saying that the talks are happening, that's what got me worried. I think it was the sheer amount of reputable people that were giving it traction.
Are you surprised we didn't hear more about Shabazz Muhammad even in rumors? I didn't hear anything at all or
kind
see
of,
any tweets.
Yeah, I think part of me thought that Tibbs would have wanted to get something of value for him. I think it's a contract year, and I don't know. I don't necessarily doubt that he doesn't want to pay him, but I have my doubts that he wants to pay him this summer. So it wouldn't have shocked me if he would have dealt him for something, anything, but I guess nothing was there.
Maybe, I suppose. Mm-hmm. That's what you probably could have got,
yeah.
Right? Does this make it, like, okay, before the trade deadline ended, you had a number that you think the Wolves would match on, and if it's over that number, they probably won't match it this summer during his restricted free agency.
Yeah.
Did that number increase now that you didn't hear any rumors about him, the Wolves shopping him at the trade deadline, or people with interest? Did the number that the Wolves would be willing to match or might be willing to match, in your opinion, go up?
Oh, man, I don't know. Only Tibbs knows this stuff, because I don't know how – I know that's a lame answer, but I don't know how in pursuit other teams were of trying to land him. If there were a few teams that were going after him and it's clear that the interest for him league-wide is high, then, yeah, that number probably went up, at least in Tibbs' mind. If there wasn't that much interest, maybe it was just Washington, or I don't know who else was reported as interested.
Washington was the one name, yeah.
Yeah.
I
don't know then. I mean, my guess is he's a scorer off the bench. That's what he does. He can hit the three a little bit, although he's been pretty poor at it lately. It's hard to say what the value of a guy like that is. There is value there, though.
Yeah, I think if you're a team and you really wanted Shabazz and you were willing to, like, sign him to a multi-year deal, regardless of the cost, you would have probably pursued him at the trade deadline. Because you kind of have, you know, restricted free agency is what it is, but you have the opportunity to match. So that tells me that maybe there's no team really, really interested in
that. Could be
Shabazz's services.
I mean, how many players in the NBA are there like that? Shabazz is a unique-ish player, a 6'6", like, post-up savant that can hit the three, that isn't very good defensively, that rebounds well.
And I still don't know how old he is.
He's anywhere between 23 and 36. but he's a unique player, but what he offers isn't terribly unique, if that makes sense. He's a scorer, and he can rebound a little bit. So it all depends on whether or not there's a team that really likes his spark off the bench, which obviously exists. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Shabazz scored 5 points in 15 minutes in the Wolves' victory over the Dallas Mavericks.
Nice segue.
You dig that? Shaking off the rust a little
bit. That was nice.
The Wolves defeat the Dallas Mavericks, the lowly Dallas Mavericks, I might add. 97-84, Nerlens Noel, who Dallas made a move for before the deadline, was inactive. He did not play. It was Wiggins' 16th straight game with 20 or more points. Ricky Rubio added a few assists. No, he five assists. Towns had 18.
Rubio had 14 assists.
Oh, my bad. What did I say, five?
He had 5 rebounds.
Oh, that's the call I'm over. 5 rebounds, yeah. Towns, 26 and 14, not
18.
Bad. 18.
Again, I got you.
D rebounds. See that?
Mm-hmm.
You can match me. You were there. You recapped it. You're clearly more in tune to what happened.
That game was...
Tyus Jones played.
Tyus Jones played well.
Yeah. He usually does when he plays.
He's been just good this year, I think you can say. I think the people that were hoping for a Ricky Rubio statement game.
Oh, okay.
After that deadline and that talk of that just blasphemous, terrible, awful, horrible Derrick Rose scenario.
Yeah.
Just awful.
Think about Derrick Rose in a Timberwolves jersey.
We share some mutual friends that were arguing with me that I'll talk to you about later.
You can name names. It's Jordan. It's
Derek
like
and Jerry.
Oh, okay.
One I trust more than the other. But the listeners don't care about that. He did not play particularly well in the first half. I was a little concerned. The first couple shots he took were misses, and I was desperately hoping, just for his sake, that he could start off hot just to get the media off his back or whatever off his back, because I'm sure that there were some nerves coming into that game after all of those talks. He wouldn't even talk to the media the days leading up to the deadline.
Yeah.
But the second half, he took over. I mean, I think he had all but maybe 2 of his points in the second half. He had one notable take towards the end of the game, a around-the-back dribble by Devin Harris for a layup, which I don't think it sealed the game, but it was a huge one. His 14 assists all came late in the game. His 3 steals mostly came late in the game.
Was 6 of 13 overall.
He was huge
overall,
late in the game.
Yeah.
Karl Anthony Towns at 26 and 18. Wiggins had 27 and 7 and 3. But it felt like that was Rubio's game. It was a statement game. So I think he got it, if you ask me. But I mean, Wiggins got them off to a hot start. I think it's 16 first quarter points, which got them out to a big start.
He's been fun to watch lately.
He's been
more so than usual.
Really good lately.
A lot of I would be interested to compare his usage rate within the last couple months to any couple month period during his entire career.
The only other stretch I can think of was that start to the year when he was putting up like 28-5-4 every game. It felt like basically Tracy McGrady, and then he hit that huge lull for a while.
Yeah,
where he was up and under, or up and under, off and on for a while. But lately, it seems like he's hit his stride again, and I hope this is his stride and not just another hot streak. We'll see.
Remember when he was shooting over 40% from three-point range?
He was leading the league? That was lovely.
Speaking of three-pointers and decent segues, the Rockets
Good.
Defeated the Timberwolves 142-130 last night in a game did not feature a lot of defense. They shoot 22 of 58 from behind the three-point line.
That is stupid. They shot over twice as many threes as the Wolves.
I mean, I'm just thinking about Tibbs' well-being.
Oh, my God.
When's the last time? I should have done my due diligence because, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do. The last time a Tom Thibodeau team gave up that many points, 142.
I bet it's – do you think it's ever happened?
Any team, even teams he's been an assistant.
Oh, well, maybe. He did coach, like, the original Wolves. So I bet that team gave up some pretty crappy.
We're only going back to the time of my birth for that one.
Yeah. So it's been over 20. It's been almost 27 years.
Even then, it's less likely because teams didn't shoot that many threes back then, right?
True. Yeah, that's absolutely true. I don't think I've ever watched a Wolves game where the other team scored 142. Like, did the Suns ever get that on the Wolves back in the Nash Amari Marion days? I don't know.
It seems likely, actually. But yeah. I don't know. I don't know for sure.
I only remember one game from that era. The Wolves weren't particularly good, but I'm straying off here for a second.
You're allowed to do that.
It was the end of a game. The Wolves were up one. Sean Marion went up for a floater, and Garnett caught it in the air and brought it back down. And everyone in the arena, because it was in Phoenix, was screaming, "Goaltend! Goaltend!" It might have been a goaltend, but they didn't call it, and the Wolves won. And that was a huge upset, because the Wolves had 30-some wins that year, and the Suns were the one seed in the West. But back on this, also a Mike D'Antoni coach team.
Get it. Wow, it's all coming together, baby.
I mean, for everything that they did on James Harden, which I think they played pretty well on him, he shot 6 of 15, only had 10 assists, which is under his average. He shot under his average in every regard.
He didn't shoot well when they came here either.
Yeah, I'll put it this way. No one shot that well for the Rockets, except for one of their few non-three-point shooters. Clint Capella was 7 of 9 and kind of destroying the Wolves. He started 5 of 5 in the first half. And when Clint Capella is shooting 5 of 5 against you, your defense is bad. I'll put it that way.
There's no question about that.
Only two players that played for the Rockets shot or scored under double figures. Sam Dekker had 8 and Montrezl Harrell had 4. Everyone else that played. And that's 10 people shot in double figures. That is absurd.
I think the biggest factor in the Rockets' victory over the Wolves was Patrick Beverley, though, right? He was a monster.
He was good. He was a playmaker when James Harden couldn't be for whatever reason. And
there's a sentence I never thought I'd hear.
He's a pest on defense. Like, people talk about Chris Dunn's defense, Ricky Rubio's defense in Minnesota. He might be a better defender than both of them. He's just insane. Ricky Rubio had 6 turnovers in this game. And, I mean, he's pretty well known for holding onto the ball. But last night, Patrick Beverley just owned him in a lot of ways.
Patrick Beverley is the Tony Allen of point guard defenders.
I think that's fair. Technically, he's their shooting guard right now, too.
Yeah, technically.
But he's technically
in positionless basketball, it really doesn't matter.
There's a little fuzz on my microphone. It's driving me crazy. Continue.
I mean, I thought they got within what it was like. It was kind of close late. There was like a 6-point. The Wolves were like at a 6-8-point deficit with like a minute left. But during that final 8 minutes, I thought it was garbage time. But
Yeah.
Tom Thibodeau is the coach, and the starters were out there.
Of course. Let's see. James Harden played 35 minutes. He would have been...
That was the team leader.
He would have been fourth on the Wolves in minutes played if he was a starter.
It was a standout night for Karl Anthony Towns, though. Let's not shy away from it, although despite his poor effort defensively this season, period, and really against the Rockets, too, he scores 37 points, 16 of 24 from the field, 22 rebounds. That just is, a monster.
He, I'm adding this up right now. The last three games, he has this ridiculous amount of rebounds. The last two games, he's had 40 rebounds. The last three games, and I'm sure some people listening already know this, but I forgot. The last three games, he had 59 rebounds the last three games. That is ridiculous. And if we're talking about stretches, you talked about Andrew Wiggins, 16 straight 20-plus point games in the Dallas game. Well, he had 30 in the Houston game, giving him 17, which, surprising to me when I found out, is the Wolves' franchise record.
Wow.
Kevin Garnett twice had 16 in a row and then once had 15 in a row. Kevin Love once, I think, had 15 in a row as well.
Somebody not named Kevin.
Yeah. Andrew Wiggins coming and taking charge.
The interesting stat is since 83-84, only three NBA players younger than Karl Anthony Towns have recorded a 30-point, 20-rebound game. Shaquille O'Neal, mm-hmm. Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. Dwight Howard.
Kevin Love... Wait, what?
Only three NBA players younger than Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, younger. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah. Younger was the key word there. Because Love did a bunch of...
Love had a 30-30 game, and I was confused for a moment.
Yeah, but he was when he was Towns' age, he was a pudgy little white kid.
He had a 30-30. He was a pudgy white kid when he had a 30-30 game. That's why I was a little surprised at first. He must have been slightly older, because I think that was Love's second year, maybe? Second or third year. I think it was the first year without Al Jefferson. So that was, and I was in college. I drove up for that game with my friend Matt.
Go on.
That's all I got. I sat two rows behind my parents. It was a good time.
Are you ready for the bit?
Let's do the bit.
The bit where.
I know the bit. Continue.
Yeah. What? Well, yeah.
Are we waiting on something?
We're not waiting on anything. I know it's football, but it's the music.
See, I don't get to hear the music because I don't have headphones today. This is boring.
Sorry, dude.
It's all right.
It's time for Zach Reads the Schedule. I'm going to make you listen to this afterwards because it's coming in really nicely. Ahead, tomorrow, 8:30 Central, or 7:30 Central, I'm sorry. The Wolves host the Sacramento Kings. Timmy Fakeless, will you be there?
No, because the Kings are actually hosting the Timberwolves.
Oh, my bad. I just cannot read.
No.
The Wolves only have four home games left. Did you know that?
Four? There's no way. Really?
Sure.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
Really? Seven?
Seven. You were just alternative fact Zach today.
February 27th, tomorrow, Wolves at Kings, 9:30 start time on FSN. You can watch the game. March 1st, Wolves are in Utah taking on the Jazz. Mm-hmm. Then they get a couple days off. They play again on the 4th. They are in San Antonio. The road trip continues. By then, we'll have done another Wolves Wired pod, Locked On Wolves Wired pod, so... That ends the bit for the day. Gosh, it's weird talking to you knowing you can't hear the music and I can't.
Yeah, it's a bummer. I just feel like you're reading a thing right now, but I know it sounds better with the music because I've heard it before.
Well, I'm not reading things well, apparently.
No, that's why I'm here.
So
this bit should be called Tim Corrects Zach on the Schedule.
Tim carries the pod. What else? Any other talking points we need to hit, you think? We can make it a short one because I'm going to
Short podcasts.
I'm going to be in the studio tomorrow for Locked On Timberwolves. Gonna do a show every day this week. Doing what I'm supposed to do. I sincerely apologize to the listeners. I do feel bad. But certain life circumstances...
Things happen.
...do not allow me to get here every day, and it just sort of is what it is. But this week, show every day. What do you think?
I won't be here. Good luck to you.
We could have you on the phone, though.
You can call me. Possible. I'm always down.
I might call you out of the blue. I won't even, like...
Well, you should let me know, because I'll be in a place with no telephone service, so I'll need to go somewhere.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been the Locked On Wolves Wired podcast. Jimmy Fakeless, we out of here.
All right.
Peace.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.